Typically, this is the moment where I jump into my sermon and we start walking through the text, and we're going to do that in a moment. That's coming, but before we do that, I need to take a few minutes to just speak, okay? And I'm gonna start off by asking you for grace, because I'm literally up here just riffing right now. I don't have notes. I just got a couple thoughts that the Lord put in my heart that I want to share with you as a church, as your pastor. I'm like many of you. I'm like a whole lot of you where the past 8 days for me, past 8 or 9 days have been incredibly burdensome and somewhat dark. I feel like in a lot of ways you're wrestling with the Lord. And I want to speak into what's happening right now, because we look around our culture, we look around our world, we look around at what's happening right now, and we're incredibly confused, right? I want you to think about something and consider this for a moment. Have you ever thought about this? Why does the Lord allow the things that he allows? You ever really just taken time to think through that and all the implications of that? Like why is it, why does, more specifically, man, why is the Lord allowing the things that God is allowing right now? In our own communities, man, in our own world, why is God allowing that stuff? And frankly, family, the truth is we have no idea. We don't know. We don't know. If we knew, we wouldn't be in so much confusion and such a cloud right now. We don't know. But here's what we do know, okay? Don't miss this. When you read the scriptures, when you look at the whole of biblical history, one of the things that you find is that consistently over and over and over again, during moments of mass confusion, during moments of horrific brutality, during moments that are incredibly dark and what we would describe as the valley of the shadow of death, during those moments consistently, what God is doing is he is preparing for himself a remnant of people who were redeemed by him and called by him to stand for him in the midst of that dark culture. This is how our God consistently moves, what he consistently does. And I want you to know today, family, that that remnant, that small group of people that God is calling out during a time like this, is it's us. It's us. It's the Big C Church. I'm not talking Little C Emmaus Church, and I'm talking Big C Church, man. The global church, the American church. We're the remnant. And that means a whole lot of things, man. That has a whole lot of implications for us, man. Because I'm like a lot of you where I've looked at this thing that happened with George Floyd specifically, and my heart has been broken and I've been angered, and there's this righteous indignation that rises up within you. It's this thing that God put in our ear, in our hearts, that says that's not right. And so there's something that needs to be said. And so as a result, what we tend to do, and I get it, we tend to all want to be heard. We feel passionate about this. We feel like we need to say something. And so what do? Well, we log on to our devices, man, and we get into our little social networking worlds, and we want to be heard. It's like the town square of 2020, right? We walk in, we want to be heard. Here's our idea. Here's our thought. And we tend to entrench ourselves in our opinions. We entrench ourselves in our thoughts. And again, man, I get it, but listen, one of the things we need to understand, beloved, is this: as God's people, we're called to live different. As God's people, we have our eyes on a very particular prize. And so with that in mind, I want to encourage you as your pastor today with a few things during this time that is so trying and so confusing for all of us. I want to encourage you with a few things. I jotted them down. First of all, family, can I just encourage you to do this as you post and as you put ideas out there and thoughts out there? Can I encourage you with this? Pray more than you post. Pray more than you post. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he's speaking to the church at Thessalonica, says to you, it's that famous line that we all tend to quote, right? We all tend to know. Pray continually. Pray without ceasing. Pray all the time, man. Pray all the time for your city, for your leaders, for your community, for your neighbors, for your circumstances. Pray without ceasing, pray all the time, but it seems like a lot of us, we're tempted to post all the time. Are we filtering those posts through prayer, asking the Lord for wisdom, asking the Lord for discernment, asking the Lord to help us during this moment. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, we're told that one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. Self-control is fruit of the Spirit, the proof that the Lord is sanctifying us is we're growing in self-control. And beloved, as your pastor, I just wanna encourage you, man, if you find yourself not being able to control yourself on this thing, put it down and ask God for wisdom, for discernment. I'm preaching to me. Listen, this ain't a bully pulpit. I'm preaching to me. The second thing I wanna encourage you in, family, is this. Would you value relationships more than wanting to be right? Value relationships more than wanting to be right. See, here's the deal, family. When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Of all the commandments out there, what's the greatest one? What's the most important one? He said, the most important commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't say the most important commandment was love God and love Twitter. There's something about humans, there's something about relationships that we should value far more than just wanting to be right and wanting to win a specific argument. There's opinions all over the place on this thing, man. I get it. But listen, can I tell you something, family? No social media platform or post is worth burning down a relationship. Ever. Like, people matter more. You know what happens? When I get to a point in my life where I care far more about winning the argument than I care about the relationship, you know what that's called? It's a fear of man. It's a fear of man, because now I care far more about what others think about me than what the Lord thinks about me. You know what the book of Proverbs calls the fear of man? A trap. It's a trap. You're gonna be trapped into tarnishing your good reputation, your godly reputation. Here's what I'd encourage you to do. Look, if you disagree with someone on a particular point, that's okay, but you know what? Be biblical. Make a call. Make a call. Shoot a text. Put it out there for the whole world to see. In no way is that biblical, man. The problem with social media is, when you get on this thing, man, the problem with the internet in general is that everything you put out there, man, it is instantaneous, immediate, and it is eternal. It is forever. It's permanent. We need to be careful. Thirdly, family, can I encourage all of us in this, as we're in the midst of this and having these conversations and having these discussions, listen, beloved, I want to encourage you, be wise and not foolish. Be wise and not foolish. The book of Proverbs talks about three specific people, the mocker, the fool, and the wise man, the wise woman. The mocker, the fool, and the wise person. And it's fascinating because there's this moment in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 29, where it says, even a fool seems wise when they don't speak and seems discerning when they hold their tongue. And we could use a lot of that right now. Fourthly, can I just encourage you with this? Would we as God's people, would we as the people of Jesus who love Jesus, who adore Jesus, who follow Jesus, would we listen at least just as much as we speak? Now, frankly, we probably need to be listening more than we even speak, but baby steps, right? Would we listen at least just as much as we speak? I mean, this is biblical, man. James chapter 1, verse 19 says that said followers of Jesus, again, God's church, you know what? We should be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to become angry, because anger does not bring about the righteousness that God requires. Would we listen just as much as we speak? A wise person once said, man, God has given us two ears, but only one mouth. Probably for a reason, right? We disagree with people. We find people that are sharing an opinion that's different than ours. Man, would we be willing to say, hey, talk to me about that? Why do you land there? What is that? Now, would you listen to where I'm coming from? Can we dialogue? Can we discuss in relationship as people who love God and love one another? I want to encourage you with this too, family. In the midst of all this, First of all, can I just speak directly to the issue? First of all, I want us to all understand that what happened to a guy like George Floyd, or what happened with Ahmaud Arbery, or what happened with Breonna Taylor, those instances, those circumstances, horrific circumstances, are completely separate from what we see happening in our nation right now with the rioting and the burning and all the crazy stuff. Those are two separate instances that we need to be very careful not to lump together. We need to see them as separate. And the question we need to ask is this: in regard to that specific situation, where would Jesus be standing? What would Jesus be saying? What would Jesus be feeling? What would Jesus be thinking? What would Jesus be posting? As Jesus's people, what we should care far more about is Jesus, like his opinion, not the opinion of the politician we follow. Or listen, it's about Jesus for God's people. Additionally, family, can I just say this? And I would hope this goes without saying in God's church. I think that it goes without saying for most of the people in this church anyway, hopefully by God's grace, but I want to say it anyway. Here's the reality, family. Can I just tell you this? Racism is not just unjust, it's demonic. It's demonic. It's as demonic and satanic as it gets. No, I literally mean that. You read in places like Ephesians chapter 2 where Jesus, the entire reason for the cross, listen, the entire reason for the blood of the Son of God was to demolish the dividing wall of hostility, not just between us and God, but also the one that's horizontal between us and other people. The entire point of Jesus, like Jesus coming, was to demolish the wall between us and God and the wall that divides us. And so what happens is this: Jesus says through the cross, Jesus says, it is finished. Racism then says, not if I can help it. So we just own the fact that racism is not just unjust, it's demonic. Now listen, some of you may say, well, I look at a situation like what we've seen over the past week or whatever, and I don't necessarily see racism involved there. It's more somebody who is evil or wicked, whatever. Listen, okay, you're entitled to your opinion. You're entitled to your opinion, like you totally are, and I'm entitled to my opinion, right? And I would disagree with your opinion, but even if we disagree on that, listen, as followers of Jesus, worshipers of Jesus, people who adore Jesus more than anything else in this world, people who show allegiance to Christ more than any other earthly thing, can we just agree on this? That no matter if you call it racism or not, the Bible is clear in places like Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17, where it says to God's people, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, and plead the widow's cause. Can we all just agree on the fact that as God's people, we are called to stand for the things that God stands for, and quite frankly, to stand for the things that the Lord has called us to stand for? Additionally, family, can I just say this, finally? And by the way, I just want to reemphasize this. This is not a political issue. It's not. Just because a pastor speaks on an issue like this, you cannot label the pastor as being, oh, now you're getting involved in politics. This is not a political issue. It is a gospel issue. It's a gospel issue. Listen, family, here's the reality. This is not about who you vote for. This is about who you worship. And so would all of our ideas and all of our stances and all of our opinions be filtered through much prayer and much time in God's word and much time pursuing relationships rather than being willing to burn them down so that we can be right? And quite frankly, family, and finally, I just want to ask you to do this. Here's the final thing I would say right now before I preach for a long time is please pray for us. Please pray for us. Please pray for me, Pastor Anson. Please pray for the other pastors and ministers on our staff. Please pray for our elders, because I'm going to just be honest with you, man. Past few days for me have gotten me to a place like in my flesh. The vast majority of my flesh wants to go, you know what? Bump this. Forget it. I'll see all y'all on Sunday up in here. Because if anything has revealed to us why the gathered church matters so much, it's circumstances and situations like this. And yet, Dude, I know we can't make a decision like that cavalierly. We can't make an emotional decision on the whim like that. So I get it. But please pray for us for wisdom. It's one of the reasons we sent out surveys to you last week in your inboxes. Pray for us for wisdom that we might know what God wants us to do. I love you. I love you, and I love our church, and I love our God, and I love our Savior who loved the world so much that he laid down his life on a cross for every race, every skin color. And so would we be a church that reflects that longing, that passion, that more than anything, we're loud about Jesus and we're united in Jesus. I'm gonna ask my brother and good friend, Travis Dean, is one of our pastors here, to come up. He's going to pray for us. And I mean, I just encourage you. Dude wrote a blog post and shared it on his Facebook, and it's out there. It's probably got its own address and stuff, but I encourage you to read that. Appreciate Travis's heart and passion for an issue like this. I asked him to just pray for us right now before we lead into our time in Exodus chapter 37. So thank you, brother.
Let's pray, family. Lord, it's a week like these. Lord, that my heart's heavy. That I'm filled with anger and frustration and grief and lament and sorrow. And as difficult as that is, as painful as that can be, Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that you haven't made me dull to sin, Lord, and I pray that for each of us. Lord, let us not be dull to the sin, to the evil, to the brokenness that we see in this world. Lord, use moments like this to drive us to repentance, to drive us to you, to drive us to love others like you've called us to. So Lord, I pray for us. Pray for the believers out there. Lord, I pray that you would work in us a heart for you. Lord, I pray for those whose eyes need to be open to the wickedness that's going on. Lord, I pray that you do that. Lord, I pray that you would work in each one of us to root out the racism of our hearts. Lord, it would be foolish and ignorant of us to pretend that we don't house wicked and evil parts in our hearts, Lord, that need to be drug out into the light and to be walked in repentance. So Lord, lead us to repentance. Lead us to ask ourselves hard questions. Lord, let us root out all of these things in our heart and bring them to you. Jesus, I pray that we would be a people that, as you call us to, that love others as much as ourselves. And Lord, sometimes that means speaking out. Sometimes that means confronting ourselves. Sometimes that means confronting others in our lives with sinful opinions and sinful thoughts and sinful words. Sometimes it means reaching out to our community in love and care and seeking how we can come alongside our hurting brothers and sisters. Lord, I am thankful that I serve a God who cares about justice. And not just ultimate justice and eternal life, Lord, where you will correct every wrong that's been done. Lord, you care about justice in the here and now. You care about justice in this life. You care about those that are oppressed, those that are marginalized. Lord, I pray that we as your people would have your heart. So Lord, we ask for you to rain down your justice. Let it flow like streams of water, Lord. I pray that you use these moments where sin is so in front of our eyes to lead us to draw all the more closer to you, to worship you all the more, to seek to live for you all the more. Lord, give us a heart for one another. And as we can't always interact with people face to face in this season, Lord, let us not lose our empathy. Let us not lose our compassion. Jesus, Lord, let us run to you. Let us cling tightly to you, Jesus. I pray for justice to be done. I pray for your name to be glorified, for your name to be honored. Lord, I pray that all of our lives, the lives of those that claim your name, Lord, that we would reflect you in all that we say and do and post online, whatever that looks like, Lord. We say yes and amen to all that Pastor Anson shared. Lord, I thank you for his heart, for his leadership. I pray for our elders and him as they seek to lead this church. Lord, continue to guide our steps. Continue to shape us into your image, Lord. We love you, and it's your name we pray. Amen.